Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss, and welcome to episode number 8 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, the podcast designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation and the Internet of Things become even more innovative. Now, in this episode, my guest is Jacques Toulon of Airbox Lab, which is a startup company based in Luxembourg that produces devices to monitor indoor air quality. These devices can be connected to via an app through your smartphone or other mobile device and give you information at all times about the air quality of your home or office. The devices are affordable for all consumers, so they're not the high-end industrial scale devices that are actually very costly to produce, manufacture and install. Now, this is another fascinating interview with lots of fantastic lessons for any innovator in their field. Jacques talks about the Internet of Caring and focusing on the human element of the Internet of Things. The other thing you might be amazed to learn is that the air quality of indoor air is actually 8 times worse, whatever that means, but 8 times worse than the exterior air. So we always think of pollution as being an external air quality issue, and that if we close our doors and windows that we're safe, but that is not in fact the case, as Jacques points out in the interview. Now, Jacques talks about disruptive innovation and making your own stream. So don't just swim along in the stream or swimming upstream even. Take it a step further and make your own stream. Always be asking questions is another piece of advice he gives. Today's innovation tip is something a little bit different, and it relates to Jacques' point that the indoor air quality is so much more of a problem than exterior air quality. Now, obviously, we spend most of our time indoors and we sleep indoors generally. So the air quality indoors is actually a bigger problem because we spend more time there. Quite aside from the fact that there are, in fact, a lot of things in the indoor air that cause issue, chemicals that we use for cleaning, chemicals that we use in cooking, dust mites, other little vermin, if you like, that cause allergies and so on. So the tip today, the innovation tip today, is open those windows and doors, let in some fresh air, even when it's cold. Make sure you're actually exchanging air from the outside. Now, for generations, our ancestors actually had a practice of opening the doors and windows every day to their homes, to their offices, and letting in fresh air from the outside. We've stopped doing that because we're much more focused these days on energy efficiency. Let's start to bring back that practice and exchange the air inside our buildings. Bring in some external air, freshen up the place, even when it's cold. Get those windows and doors open each day, and you'll be amazed at what that actually does to the innovation of the people living inside that building. Now, today's competition is sponsored by InnovaBiz, where we help smart, innovative businesses who need real tangible results from the internet turn their online presence into a business generation machine that works even when they're not working. And the prize today is a copy of Big Bang Disruption by Larry Downes and Paul Noones. Now, the authors here talk about the age of devastating innovation and how to deal with that, how to be prepared with that, or how to actually create your own stream, as Jacques puts it. So stick around for details later on in the interview of how you can enter the draw to win that prize. So without further ado, let's go to the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from Jacques Toulon.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast. helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm very pleased to have here with me today, all the way from France, near the Luxembourg border, I understand, Jacques Toulon, who is the co-founder and the CEO of Airbox Lab. So welcome, Jacques, to the InnovaBuzz podcast.
Hi, Jürgen. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, Airbox Lab specialize in monitoring indoor air quality to improve your health and wellness, and Jacques has actually said on one of the company's websites that Airbox Lab makes the Internet of Good Things very useful for everyone and for the environment. So we look forward to hearing more about that. Before we learn more about Jacques and about Airbox Lab, a quick competition announcement. Today I'm going to give away a copy of Big Bang Disruption by Larry Downes and Paul Nunes, which is all about strategy in the age of what the author calls devastating innovation. If you want to learn more about the challenges to come from the internet, the preparing for them and building the capability to respond quickly and effectively, then this book is a must read. Stick around for details on how you can enter the draw to win that prize later on in the interview. Now, Jacques, before we learn more about Airbox Lab and all the innovative things you're doing there, let's find out a little bit more about you as a person. When you were a young child, what did you have ambitions to become when you grew up?
Very simple, very easy. I had the ambition of being an entrepreneur and a leader. I knew I was 16 years old when I discovered or was convinced that I would be on my own. I would be, leading my way and finding my own way, which I finally did. I never had a contract with an employer, so it's something that I felt was really deeply rooted in me. That was my kind of liberty and freedom for the life.
Okay, that's fascinating, because not many people start off as a young child wanting to be an entrepreneur. Did you have parents who were in business for themselves?
No, it's exactly the opposite. And I think it's maybe the reason why I just wanted to be somehow different. None of my families, they were all in the, most of them in the medical works or, none of them were entrepreneur. That was something that was not a word you would find in my family.
That's fascinating. So what's been your journey then? When was your first entrepreneurial adventure?
Well, I first started, but it's something that is special in France. You, at that time, you had the possibility, instead of doing your military service, which was at that time mandatory, you could be working abroad for a French company. So it was kind of first experience on a 2 years period. But it was in the worldwide express, transportation like this, were bought over later on by TNT. So it was in Canada and was also at that time opening a new business for them. They were based in Montreal and they were asking me to open a new business in Toronto. And I found that just a great experience starting from scratch. And just by working hard and meeting with people and making deals and then going from that point. Okay. And then I came back in France and started then my own business was in the environmental field. I always had this need of doing something that would bring something that would, the good thing that you could be working on. I've always need to be on jobs or works or that is meaningful and useful. That's the two key words for me. So I decided to go on with this environment business I created. It was consulting, marketing, communication as consultant for the environment. And quite quickly, I was really focusing on behavior change, and that's something that really is fascinating, I think, for to work on that part. So the main thing was, how can you be into a part of our consumer society, but at the same time taking care of your environment, not saying saving your planet, but at least really taking care and taking your breath to the this environment need. And I've done that for almost 19 years before creating a new this new project with my startup. So it's a long time of maturing, maybe a kind of idea, letting grow. And actually this startup, the Airbox Lab, the interesting thing is, as I discovered, it was first 2005, but then really 2008, among the first Internet of Things device, and one of them was the personal scale that would be able to tweet or Facebook your weight, which sounds at that time a little bit crazy and useless, like, what's the hell of that kind of goodie? Who would like to have that? And it turned out to be an excellent tool for people. So that was the first thing. And I've always been curious about new things. How can you do something in a different way? Or try something new. That's curiosity is the one of the the energy that is driving me. And since I've been working on the environment subject so long, this one of the subject that is the air, and the statement with the air is really something awkward, because it's been, like in Europe, it's been 30 years that we hear about the outdoor pollution, that it's how bad it is, how and it's not improving at all. Like the EEC is pushing for new laws, putting it mandatory to watch out for the and decrease the outdoor pollution. But it sounds like if you close your door and your window, you're safe. Yeah. It's like it's only existing outside. And I remember one thing in France that was really shocking is the Chernobyl accident in Russia, where the French government dared to say that the radioactive cloud did not cross the French border. And that was, at that time, I felt so betrayed in somehow. And it's the same thing about the outdoor pollution. It's a real problem, because it's been 30 years that we are misleading people about that problem. And the truth is actually that the indoor air pollution is higher, up to 8 times higher than the indoor. It's a different pollution, but it's an important one, and it has on the long run, it has a real impact on your health. The problem was that the one of the statements is always that if you want to improve something, you have to measure it first, and if you cannot measure, you cannot improve. The appliances were only very very expensive, like 1,000 to 5,000 euros per unit to have this monitoring system for your indoor air pollution. So for the end users, the citizen, it's really impossible to have that. And it's thinking about this Internet of Things technology and making it possible and affordable for this subject that was not taken into consideration. So it's disrupting an existing technology, but on an existed market. That's the actually the what I'm working on with the with my startup.
Okay.
And the goal, the big goal is for us is to empower people with knowledge and then decision making, because then you can improve as soon as you can have this look on the indoor air quality.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, let me take you back. You said that indoor air quality was 8 times worse than outdoor.
Yeah.
So what's contributing to that?
Well, it's quite simple. It's because of mainly products and activities.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a consumer society. We are all, and that's with the help of strong marketing, strong hygienist marketing, we need to smell the odor of cleanliness.
Okay.
And it's something that is also misleading people because it's only chemicals.
Yeah.
You don't need that actually, but you feel that it smells good. It smells something that is clean. And since you cannot, it's invisible, intangible. So it's only in your mind. So you have a lot of products that you use. Like, paradox is when you do cleaning at home, you're just polluting your home. So it sounds awkward, huh? But that's the truth. And you can see that with the device we're working on, because you see on the charts, you see the trace of the chemical in the air, or the particulate matter that are in the air. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is the activities, like by cooking, you also produce pollution. And actually we, you know, like my maybe grandfather or grandfather, they had this behavior or habits of renewing the indoor air by exchanging outdoor and indoor air, which is something we have lost. I mean, it's something we do not do, we don't any longer, because we are focusing on energy saving. Mm. So we are building better houses, better, you know, we keep everything fine inside, but actually we confine. Mm. So if we have less pollution inside than outside, because we keep it always closed, then that's how it's becoming more polluted than the outside. And the other thing is, you spend up to 80% of your lifetime inside. So if you just catch outdoor pollution for only 20% of your lifetime, it's no big deal, or almost, you know, it's less dangerous than the inside.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. The enemy is inside, and that's what we want people to be aware of, and then make decision accordingly.
Okay, so tell us about the product, the Alima product, the air monitoring device that you've developed at Airbox Lab.
Yeah, the device is, so it's like the Internet of Things technology concept. We use off-the-shelf sensors. That's the really the big and very interesting idea, and not spending like 2 to 3 years inventing a new sensor. So we have the two main sensors are the one with the VOCs and the one with particulate matter. That's the two bad ingredients for your health. And then we add temperature and humidity. We have, so it's a monitoring station, and that means it's a continuously measuring, sending the data to the cloud, and in the cloud then we do data processing, we do data mining, we analyze the pollution levels, we benchmark them. We use also, you have a threshold given by the World Health Organization, so we also use that because it's a starting level. We work on what it's called also pattern recognition, because we can detect some type of pollution. And we also work on predictive analytics, you know. So it's a really, like, we have some kind of artificial intelligence in the cloud that is doing the work for you, and then we come back with an app on your smartphone, and we deliver notification, warnings. We deliver also actionable advice, and we'll be delivering also a kind of like your personal indoor air pollution forecast. Okay. Because the device is learning from your habit, from the way the pollution and the airflow inside your house. So it's really hardware, but our core business will be the service, the intelligence, and the coaching side that we will be delivering.
So really helping.
It's something that I found that really helped, exactly. And the one important thing is, if you just deliver dashboards to end users, you're doomed to fail. Because this is not what we, I mean, on a daily basis, just receiving data, figures, and dashboards leads you nowhere else than putting on the side and let it on the side. So it's something we don't want. We want also to have kind of people's stickiness with the app, because it's how we want them to learn to improve their indoor air quality. So that's why we also are implementing gamification within the app.
Okay.
And the whole thing is, like a jogger, like a sportman, we want you to improve your and keep your indoor air as good as possible.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. So you're taking the data and you're turning it into something useful for everybody in the community.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like the idea
exactly.
of turning it into a little bit of a game, so get a reward for changing behavior.
Exactly. Yeah. Plus, people will be able to use the results. We want to create also a community of people, and we believe that if you have your best practices could be beneficial to other people, you know, could be exchanging. It's being a way. It's the kind of could be a kind of a Wikipedia of the good home vibes by sharing the things and being able, first of course, to see it, to make it visible, and then to exchange with the other people. So it's working all together to improve it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, so a little Wikipedia to build best practices and share them.
Yeah, and we were even thinking of maybe on the longer run to be the Shazam of the indoor air pollution. That would be very interesting, to have the device and say, oh, this is the smell of, or this is the pollution of, I don't know what, but it's something that we're so using. And it's like the real power of the web and the data mining is to share it, is to make it, like a common goal among the users.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm thinking of a slightly different approach. I don't know if you know Strava, which is a sports app mainly for cyclists, and people share their rides on there, and that you can build segments on there. So it's kind of like best practice, and you compare your best times with other people's best times. So you can, again, it's done.
Yeah, that's the new generation of the Internet of Things devices. And I think this is much more, I mean, powerful than the first one that was just, you know, we were all going really into data, just pure data that you would be getting. We human are not made for data users.
Yeah, I think you said something about the Internet of Things has to have an embedded brain to become an intelligent device somewhere on your website.
And the bigger the brain, the better the service. And I think we'll see right now the design. You have to have something iconic, something, you know, that you can show to people in terms of the device. But I think it's going to fade away, and then we will have, it's the technology and it's the service that you will be working on that will be the most important thing. But it's really like, it's a kind of revolution. So we first show it, but then I hope it will democratize quickly so that we will have millions of sensors that we will be all using and sharing and improving our life with that.
Yeah, probably if you could put it into some big public spaces and have, I don't know, certification or something for public spaces that are certified to meet a certain standard, and that way people are more attracted to those places. So that could be a way to get it going.
Yeah, it will be. We have people asking us, like the hotel industry, to show, you know, sustainable hotel would be, they're really interested, saying, okay, then we could be showing people right from the time they book the room on the website. They could see the indoor air quality of the room they would be booking. And could be like all kind of restaurant, cafe, where you go, it could become one of the indicator of the quality of the place, and not only the food, the drink, and the comfort. It's going beyond that.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
but it does take time, because you know, as someone said, the hardware is hard, and it's a kind of double pain, because you have to be good in hardware as well as software, and develop at the same time. So it's something that is it's really tough, but it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's fabulous. So how do you describe what you do when you first meet somebody, Jacques, and they say, what do you do? How do you describe that? Do you have kind of a one sentence snapshot of what it is?
Yeah, in a way, it's what we say, what I used to say now is that we use science and technology to enhance your home vibes. That's the vision, that's the ultimate goal we are looking at, because we want to go one step further from the, if you just think about indoor air pollution, then you think data, you think, okay. But above the data is your well living, you know, your well being. That's what on the long run we're looking at. But of course, at the beginning, it's easier to say, okay, I have a device that is measuring your pollution, giving you data, notification, advisors, so that it goes, you breathe better. But behind breathing, it's a question of living. Yeah. That's the vision we have. Actually, it's really working on the home vibes, feeling so good, so well at home. That's the idea of the device.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So focused really on the benefits that it brings every individual, rather than just the data that's delivering that.
On the road, we have also that mission of, as I mentioned, empowering people with knowledge, and also raise awareness. It's very important, because this subject is so difficult because of this invisibility, you know, like, because it's intangible. So you have, almost 60% of the population that is not aware of what they're breathing. And very funny thing, when you think about it, is if you think at the three product or produce that you consume every day, you have water, you have food, and you have air. Actually, the air is the number one you consume. It's at least 12 kilos a day.
Yeah.
Who knows what is breathing? Almost nobody. Like, there's no tag, there's no label on your on the air.
Yeah.
Whereas you know what you're drinking, you know what you're eating most of the time, or at least you try to trust the labels.
That's right.
And for the air, nothing. That's the and that's what we're fighting against. It's being okay. Now you have to look at this important ingredient of your life.
Yeah, that's really important, because you can do without water or food for maybe even half a day or even a day, but certainly not air.
But it's with the air, just so important.
60 seconds All right. So within Airbox Lab. What do you spend most of your time doing day to day?
Well, like right now, it's really the rush with the industrialization phase. We should be pressing the mass production button on beginning of December. With fingers crossed.
Exciting.
It's exciting, but it's still iterating a lot, like we've been doing for the last few months. But then, making the last and final decision on the device, making sure everything is running fine. We know that it's also the good thing with the startup. You can iterate faster, but still you have to deliver a strong, a good device. So it's a mix of going fast for the time to market, but also making sure that you don't want to deliver something that would be not be reliable. Yeah, so right now we are racing for the final countdown with the industrialization and the mass production launch December 4th or really beginning of December. Mm-hmm. So it's a real challenge. And during the next few weeks, we have to make the final decision on options we might still have on the device, developing the app at the same time, improving everything. Actually, we're not starting from scratch because a year ago, we started the very first product, which was the proof of concept. And we went on an Indiegogo campaign. The idea was not to give the 100 beta units to families and friends to have the beta test, but to find first customers based on the prototype. And we did that. So we did that. We sold 100 beta units in 24 countries and had this beta run that did last for about 6 months. So we got a lot of feedbacks, and from that we reworked everything, the design, the app, the name. So it's going to be like a second product that will be the very first one that will be launching end of the year, depending on then after the beginning of next year. And that's but it's going to be soon ready to push the go button.
That's great. So you had an extensive kind of pilot scale testing for 6 months.
And that's important in the case of this, because it's such new device. It wasn't made before. You can find some product that have either one has the VOC, the other one has a PM sensor, like they have in China, because it's really a big issue for them. But there was the first time that a startup was really putting together these two ingredients and start working with it. So it's also even more complicated. So it require more beta run.
And where are you going to commercialize first? Which countries?
Well, actually, what we saw also with the Indiegogo campaign, we saw that the two first market that would be eager to have the device was the States and China. Mm-hmm. Not for the same reason. China is because it's the very first country which for you have a visible issue. And they're helping us raising awareness because it's so visible. I mean, it's becoming so bad. So they're in an emergency situation. And the States, because it's a more mature country for Internet of Things devices. It's something that sounds already more common, or that people would be, okay, let's go for it. Let's buy that device as another device. Whereas in Europe, it's still the kind of, it's happy few people who have the device and who like early adopters, and so it's taking longer in Europe. And there are two things that are sometimes awkward. Is the first one is that the actually the indoor air quality in China is not worse than the one in Europe, but it's the idea that people have about it that is completely different.
Yeah.
European people are convinced that the indoor air is fine, is okay, there's no problem. And they're wrong, because they've built so much more around energy saving, energy efficiency, that they're confining, they're just confining. Whereas in China, they don't confine, but they have bigger outdoor pollution issue.
Yeah,
so it's two different ways, but actually, I think we are really sharing the same problem with the Chinese people.
No, that's great. Okay, so what are some of the biggest challenges that you face in building this new business?
Well, it's the really meaning of disrupting. The disruption is our biggest challenge, because we go from the very extreme laboratory appliances to a consumer good, and there's no competition between the two, but there's this way of looking at it. I meet a lot of experts, scientific people, and I found experts on the air, they were just amazed, couldn't think that this would be possible. And these people, they're using PM sensors that could cost up to $200,000. They can just imagine, how can you just dare thinking about having a consumer good device that could be measuring PM?
Yeah.
So it's really this, trying to have the convincing. I mean, I believe a lot of one of the challenge is experimentation. It's a device that we have to use a lot through experiments, so that people will take the device and they will see by themselves. They will use it, and the way they will use it, I think it's a little bit like going backwards in 2008 with this personal scale that was tweeting. It's something like, what the hell are you doing? And what is this idea? I really strongly believe that it's something we are bringing and real value for people, but we have to educate them. We have to make sure that they have to see the result, the benefit.
A lot of my guests have said exactly the same thing. Basically, if you've got a disruptive technology, it's educating the consumers or the potential customers about the benefits is one of the big challenges.
I remember 3 years ago about the quantified self with the wristband, measuring your body activity, and there were all journalists writing, it's not measuring properly, it's relative measurement, so how can you trust that? And there can be a difference of 15 to 29% of the accuracy of the sensors, so how can you use that? And actually, I always told them, you don't care. What you do care is the constant reading and is the long-term use of the device. It's like a personal scale. Everybody knows that there's no one personal scale that is accurate.
Yeah.
But it's because you use always the same one, that you can, it's funny because you have this, it should be, they should think about it automatically, but no, it's new. So there are doubts, there are questions, and so now we start to see the benefit of using it. And our insurance company are interested in using the quantified self to improve the health and therefore the statistics of their customers.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So it's but you just have to make sure, because as I used to say, the educating people is not a business model. So you have to find also your way in terms of business to succeed.
Yeah.
But it's really for me it's very important to have something that is this kind of doing good thing of making business and with a startup.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So is there something that worries you that keeps you awake at night?
Oh, just one thing, or there are several. There are many things.
Yeah.
And it's really, right now. It's really the challenge of giving birth to this device. In a way, it's such a exciting but also stressful challenge. But no, for the rest, I've always been enthusiast and optimistic person. So I really I believe in the future. So yeah, it will be working. I'm really convinced. It's just what would maybe wake me at night is also how long will it take to have people being convinced to have you want everyone to be okay. Yeah, that's what we need. And so going from the nice to have thing of the few people to the must have thing that why didn't we think about that before?
Yeah,
I would like to be at that stage already.
Yeah. Okay. So if you could wave a magic wand and fix one thing within your business, what would that be?
Have the device delivered with the on a huge truck at my door tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Like bulk delivery. Yes, it's
yeah. Okay. So what do you do when you're not working? How do you keep balance between all the stresses of a startup company and getting to manufacture with a new device and so on?
I think it's in my blood. So and when I'm not working, I'm having a little bit of sleep and spending a little bit of time with my family, with the kids. But it's it's really I think it's something. I'm breathing business, and my startup is also breathing into me. I mean that's really something. And I've always been like that. It's my balance is by being overloaded of work with what I'm into it. When I don't do that, I'm getting nuts. So,
okay, so.
And they know that, my wife and the kids, they know that as long as I'm, really into it, busy, this is how I feel the best.
Yeah, so you're happiest that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you read some interesting books recently that you recommend to our audience?
Well, no, there's one, but it was it's 2 or 3 years ago. The biography from Steve Jobs was really something I remember. It was actually the summer where I spent some time in Italy. Was reading that, and at the same time, I was starting the kind of business plan for my startup, and was like, I still have it in mind. Was really a great, great time. And that's the one that I still have in mind. Yeah.
So that might explain, because I saw photos and some videos of the device on your website and on other sites, and it certainly has that Apple-esque, if you like, design element to it in terms of the overall appearance and that. So maybe that's the influence there.
Yeah, well, could be, yeah.
Okay, so what do you see as the risks and opportunities in innovation, opportunity cost?
What do you mean with opportunity cost?
Well, the risk of innovation. So we talk a lot in this podcast about innovation, but it's not just about innovation at all costs. So there's usually risks involved and opportunity costs. And what do you see as those, and how do you deal with that? Like you said, it's important to have a good business model and make sure that the benefits can actually be turned and the education can be turned into a business.
Well, that's something that is really stressful for the hardware startup, is that you have to reach quickly high volume, so that you get the scale of you know, of the economy, scale of economy, because if not, I mean, you're dead. It's something, because you are working on a mass market consumer goods, so the cost and the price, the retail price, is so important. You know, whatever the service that you embed, the brain, the intelligence you embed in your device, it's something that is really the a step that you have to succeed with that. And yeah, we've had this chance because, and also thanks to this crowdfunding campaign, we emerged, and we had then people knocking at our door saying, like businesses knocking at our door saying, wow, the thing you're creating is something, I mean, I've been thinking, dreaming about it for years. I mean, it's not directly in my business, but I see the potential of raising awareness, of being, you know, keeping this thought leadership on my business, in my field. And it's simply great, because thanks to that, we've been able to work on B2B2C partnership. Mm-hmm. So going without, you know, being strictly on the B2C market with selling one by one unit.
Yeah.
So that's really something that is helping us, and is yeah, that I think that's the best achievement we've done till now, to have that, so that we are in the capacity of having our cost really mastered and can work further on.
Yeah, that's good advice. So capacities of scale and managing cash flow, I guess, as well.
Yeah, because it does take cash flow and yeah, because of the hardware.
Okay, well, let's move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, where this is designed to help our audience learn from your experience and get some tips. So there's about five or six questions, and hopefully you'll have just a one-line answer for us that will blow the audience away.
Okay.
So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
So for me, it's disrupt. Don't think, don't just think out of the box. Just, you know, don't take things for granted. That's the number one thing for me.
Yeah.
Go against the mainstream,
yeah,
and create your own stream.
Yeah, that's great. I like it. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Yeah, in a way, it's not thinking the way people think, but questioning. Once you start questioning what is around you, what are the businesses, what are the ideas, what people are doing, and staying eager on curiosity, always question and yeah, put new questions on the table, and it's amazing how many answers you can get. Once you start.
Yeah, that's great. One of my guests recently talked about asking why seven times, so they, every time they have a suggestion, yeah, there's seven, yeah, times they have to ask why, and each time you get
exactly
a new insight, or yeah. All right. Do you have a tool or a system for innovation or improving productivity around innovation?
Actually, no. A tool, I mean, working hard, iterating, and that's really something that is so strong, so powerful with the startups, and also being open right from the beginning. It's the complete opposite model of the old fashioned industry. Keep it open. Let your competitor take them on board, but then you'll just be racing faster than they will be. And so that's something, yeah, that's for the innovation is something I've learned with the startup, and I think it's so strong for, yeah.
Yeah, so more about the open sourcing model rather than trying to keep everything secret and in-house.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Being close to them and open in the way you do business with them. I always say it's considering them like partner and not customers or providers. It's really co-building the project. That's how we work.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, great advice. So finally, what's the number one thing you can do to differentiate yourself?
Well, wouldn't consider me as a genius. We always say it's like the use of the brain. What's the percentage of the brain you use? It's 1% genius and 99% labor and hard work, and there's no magic powder for that. I think it's just going fast is really one thing, and of course not being afraid of really sticking to your vision, meaning going really not away but further down the road, rather than just sticking to your the idea and the technical practical things. That's something that is very important, and if you open you do that easier than when you just keep it everything closed, secret, into your box. Have the more inputs you have on your project, so the more open you are, the better you'll be.
So push the boundaries a little bit.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's great. So what's the future for you and for Airbox Lab then? So obviously you've got the big launch, the production launch and commercialization coming.
That's the very next step. And then, of course, expansion. And then part of our vision is to, I'm really looking at the making the Internet of Caring. That's something that also I have in mind from the beginning of the startup. And it's something that I'm already working on. Beyond connecting devices is the meaning of the use and what you bring to people. So Internet of Caring is my next project, actually. So in terms of could be hardware, software, that will be starting as soon as we launch the device, and also we are really eager to learn from the users to see. I'm convinced we will learn a lot. I'm convinced we will find new things based on users' way of using and sharing with the device.
Yeah.
So that's going the evolution of the device.
The device, yeah. Okay. That's internet. Yeah. Internet of Caring is a fascinating concept. All the discussion around Internet of Things, it's kind of a little abstract, and a lot of people don't really grasp what it is. And you talk about, well, connecting machines with machines, and then they get all about, well, if everything's automated, and the caring aspect coming into that is a different approach. So.
And Internet of Caring means that the human is. You keep the human in the center of the system. That's something that is I do consider as important.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for that, Chuck. Now I just want to remind the listeners again and the viewers about the competition, and it is a copy of Big Bang Disruption. So we've talked quite a bit about disruptive innovation today, and that book's by Larry Downes and Paul Nunes. And it is all about strategy in the age of what the authors call devastating innovation. So it's innovation that's actually turning things upside down for us. So how do you prepare yourself for that, and how can you take advantage of the opportunities? Now, to enter this competition, what we've thought of is, if you leave a comment under this video and in fact, tell us how you think the Alima Air Quality Monitor can help your own home, your own quality of life, and what features you think it should have to make it even more useful for you. So thinking a little bit about what Jacques has just said about the Internet of Caring, you know, is there an idea you can come back with for Jacques and his team there? And if you leave a comment under the video, I'll get Jacques to swing by in a few weeks and award that prize. So is that okay, Jacques?
Yeah, fine. Great.
Okay, well, in conclusion then, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give any business who wants to be a leader in their field in innovation?
Well, the thing is, always you say that go against the no. And yeah, that's something that is also in the description. And so the complementary thing is, don't look for the yes. It's the two part of the way you have to move forward.
Okay, terrific. Thanks. So that's been really great, Jacques. Thanks. Where can people reach out to you and say thank you for everything that you shared with us?
Thanks for your time, for your people listening, being on your podcast too. And wish to always, my door is always open, even if it's only an e-door, you can always knock at my door, and love to keep the conversation open. That's for sure.
So are you on Twitter or on LinkedIn?
Yeah, Twitter is Jacques Guillon. We have a Facebook page with Alima and Airbox Lab. On the website you can find me. You can find me pretty easily on LinkedIn too with Jacques Touillon. There's many ways of knocking on my door.
Yeah, and we'll post links to that underneath the video. So finally, then, who would you like to see me interview on the Innova Buzz podcast in the future, and why?
Well, there's a guy, I'm just been in touch with him recently, and the interesting thing is that we've almost at the same stage of implementing and launching the device. He's in the quantified self in the health business, and it's called his startup is called Astud. It's based in California. It's Nick Vasilakis. And can give you his mail. I think it's interesting because this is in the same process of using sensors and going to help people on the health and wellness also. So it's we might have also some fit. And I love his way of approaching the Internet of Things market or concept.
Okay, well, thanks for that. So Nick, courtesy of Jacques Toulon, look out for an email from me inviting you to the podcast.
So yeah, great.
Yeah, well, Jacques, thank you so much for spending time with us. It's been, I think we've been on for over an hour already, and it's been really fascinating to learn about what you're doing and how you're approaching it, the whole philosophy around the Internet of Caring and making the Internet of Things have a personal aspect with, you know, that human brain, if you like. So thank you very much. I look forward to seeing how your commercialization goes, and looking forward to hearing more about Airbox B&B and the Alima device. So I wish you all the best, and I hope things go well with that launch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. Good then. We'll see you then, everybody.
Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting Jacques as much as I enjoyed interviewing him on today's episode of the Innova Buzz podcast. He certainly is a very inspiring entrepreneur, and I love his vision of the Internet of Caring, of putting humans at the center of the Internet of Things, and thereby helping to improve people's lives. Now, there's a lot of great tips there that are well worth keeping in mind and following up on. For example, always question and be curious. Sharing things with the competition, which is an interesting point that Jacques makes. He says that sharing and being open rather than being secretive leads us to keep innovating and keep being innovative. And also the suggestion of creating your own stream. Don't swim with the stream. Don't swim upstream. Create your own stream and swim in that. Now, of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, and you'll never miss another future episode if you do that. So I'd certainly encourage you to do that. All the show notes and the resources and the reach out links for this episode are going to be at innovabiz.com.au Airbox Lab. That's AIRBOXLAB. innovabiz.com.au/airboxlab. So there's no hyphens, no underscore, no funny characters. You know the drill by now. innovabiz.com.au/airboxlab. Now remember to leave comments underneath the video for your chance to enter our competition, which today is sponsored by InnovaBiz. And it's a copy of the book Big Bang Disruption by Larry Downes and Paul Noones. And what we'd like you to do is tell us how the Alima Air Quality Monitor could help improve your home and your quality of life, and what features you would like to see in that above and beyond what Jacques has described and what you might be able to find on their website. What additional features you'd like to see in that that would make it even more useful for you. So that might provide Jacques and his team with some additional ideas. Thinking about, of course, his philosophy and his vision of the Internet of Caring, with humans at the center of the Internet of Things. I'll get Jacques to swing by in a couple of weeks' time and pick out the best suggestions and the best ideas there for a copy of the prize. Now, Jacques has nominated Nick Vasilakis of Astute Inc. to be on my podcast as a future guest, and I'm going to get in touch with you, Nick, so keep an eye on your inbox, because we're coming to get you from the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Jacques Toulon. Now, if you like these podcasts, we really would love you to give us a 5-star review over on iTunes, because it does help to build our audience, and it's my aim to share all of this exciting information that we're getting from these wonderful entrepreneurs and innovators, to share that as widely as we can, because there's just so much gold that we can learn from these wonderful people. And we need to share that with as many people as we can. So go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. That will really help. Now, remember, as always, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and innovate on.